We're back for our third and final part in our three-part series with Tom Oakley. I'm thoroughly enjoying these episodes. We're getting to know a little bit more about Tom and his personal struggles through his training journey. So I'm really looking forward again to our chat today and our third and final part in this three-part series. Let's get into it. And I was just thinking about what you were saying earlier, that in terms of staying mobile and keeping your strength up, which is what, you know, a big reason why I started, really, because I was feeling so weak. So you could be running marathons, you could be, you know, doing lots of cardio, which I think you said before that that can be quite common, is people go for the cardio machines because they're not confident with the equipment. But if your arms then, essentially, they're not gaining, you're not keeping the mobility going, potentially, if you're not using your upper body as much. So it's the importance of trying to keep some, you know, mobility going, I guess.
Most people who come through the door, not most people who come through the door have a shoulder injury, but a large percentage of people do. And most people who come through the door who have a shoulder injury, it's simply because of the decisions they've made over, I said this earlier, the decisions they've made over the course of time have led them to a point where their shoulder doesn't work anymore, right? Your rotator cuff is made up of a group of muscles. They all do a job. There's four muscles that directly sit that are part of the rotator cuff, and then there's groups of muscles that sit around it that aid movement of the rotator cuff and stability of the rotator cuff. All of those groups of muscles need to work exactly at the same time for them to for the shoulder to get, like, an, for example, an overhead press, as I was saying before, right? It's a very demanding movement, which is a reason why I can't do it. All of those things have to happen at the same time, right? If you sit at a desk for 20 years and you, the only time you raise your arms above your head is when you put a tin of beans on the top shelf, your shoulder ain't going to work anymore, mate. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, oh, my shoulder hurts. Well, yeah, you sit hunched at a desk for 8 hours at a day. Also as well, because you sit down, your hips are stiff. If your hips are stiff, your spine's stiff. If your spine's stiff, your shoulders are stiff. So it's all everything. That's why movement, always stay consistent with training. Always do something.
Yeah, because you hear it said, don't you, with people who are getting a bit older, that they start getting aches and pains. Right. And it's like, yeah, but that's just old age.
It isn't, though.
But actually, it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
I can't remember if we said this at the beginning of the podcast or if it was the conversation that we were mumbling on about beforehand.
Yeah.
But there's nothing inherently about age. It's just whether or not you've stayed mobile through the years.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we did mention that right at the beginning, to be fair.
So I can remember when I first joined, I struggled, you know, the overhead press, that was one of the main ones that was really hard. I mean, you know, it was just the bar.
Yeah.
And I could maybe, I don't know if I managed one or two.
I think it's just a bar, but the bar's 20 kilos.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think that's 10 kilos in either hand. And I tell you what, that is a lot for an untrained lady, 10 kilos. So that's why, you know, that's why we've got other variables like 15 kilo bars or dumbbells and stuff like that as well. So, but I absolutely hear what you're saying. You know, that is actually quite a lot to overhead press if you've not done it for a while. So it's very justified, mate.
Is there hope for people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, people that might be watching that are thinking, well, I've just never done it. And now I feel, you know, I think I've gone beyond help, sort of thing. Can people still build muscle and still gain mobility if they start late?
Yeah, it's just mindset, you know. If you're not willing to make the change, enough is going to happen. If you're willing to make the change, everything can happen. I think every podcast we'll ever do, I'll probably say this sentence. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier, and we were talking about goals, and she said, "Oh, this is my goal." And I said, "Well, how much weight have you got to lose?" And she said, "Well, X amount." Which was way more than what she said. I said, well, why are you only limited to that? She said, oh, just because I just don't think I can do it.
Mm.
It's just a mindset thing. Unfortunately, she's had bad bad experiences with diets. And again, it's that emotional things. That's kind of an emotional kind of blanket. She was like, well, I'll just keep it manageable.
Mm.
And really, you can achieve whatever you want at whatever age. If you start late, if you've not done any exercise, and you are in your 60s, it's still not too late, because in 6 months' time, your body wants that. Your body wants to be active. You know, it responds well to it. So it's just whether or not you want to. That's what it boils down to. I know it sounds so cliche, but
yeah, we've talked
like that switch in your head, haven't you?
We've talked a bit about this on a previous podcast, where we're so limited by what we believe we can do.
Correct.
And we're so influenced by our past.
Yeah.
Of what, you know.
Do you remember in the last podcast I said to you about Jim? Yeah. And he comes to the gym, and I call him Jim's in the gym.
Yeah.
Jim is in his 70s and he couldn't, he was had so many aches and pains. You know, when he first started, and I literally said this, it was just a brand new world to him. When he came in on the last Tuesday, I said, right, Jim, what's your goals then? What's your goals for 2025 this year then, right? And before he said, I said, right, we're going to squat 100 kilos. And he said, 100 bloody kilos? I said, I'm not going to be able to do that. I mean, he squatted 75 for five reps, I think it was. And then he had a bit of a medical thing and he's just kind of rebuilding it back up again. But he'll be back there in no time at all, right? Well, the reality is, if you're doing 75 kilos for five reps, it's not a million miles off being able to squat 100 for one rep anyway. In a year, it's very doable. But it sounds unrealistic because he's not there yet, right? Everything's unrealistic until you've done it. But I'm not going to get him to do it unless he can do it. And I'd be able to know if he was able to do it. So I said, well, right now it's not realistic, but that's why it's called a goal. And he was like, it took me 10 minutes for me to convince him that it was a good idea. But I said, at some point this year, we're going to get you to a point where you're going to squat 100 kilos. And I said, we could even do it when you don't even, you know, if I was like, oh my God, we're going to squat 100 kilos, and he starts getting psyched up about it. I said, we could even do it while I just put 100 kilos on the bar and you wouldn't even know it was that, and you'd do it. So you can do it. You just got to be consistent long enough to get there.
Yeah.
So, but he was like, immediately, no. I can't do that. What do you mean 100 kilos? It sounds too scary. You're limiting your capacity.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about something else that you said earlier as well. And I was thinking that, well, once you start to take a step towards, so something else that Adam was talking about, actually, my cousin, that he has three goals, right? Always.
Right.
And he has a small goal, a medium one, and a long-term goal.
Well, things that he's constantly working on.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what occurred to me was that, and some of the other stuff that he was saying, he's gaining evidence for himself. And he said, I said, what's the greatest lesson that you've learned through your experience? And he said, that I can do whatever I want. And I think from just setting little goals, you know, start the momentum going, you do surprise yourself, and then you're literally gaining evidence that you can do more than you ever imagined.
How you feel about yourself internally,
I
bet, is a much more peaceful place than prior to having achieved the things you've achieved fitness-based over the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would go as far as say, with every passing year, I'm more at peace with who I am as a person because I consistently do shit that I'm proud of. And that's what life's about, mate.
Yeah. You know,
if you just do nothing all the time, you're not going to be a very...
Decisions are better, aren't they? You've got more clarity in thought. Your decisions are just better. Even your career choices and the things that, like starting the podcast...
100%.
You know,
very true, Ange, yeah, because you wouldn't have done this 2 years ago, would
no,
you?
No, it wouldn't have occurred to me.
Very cool.
Wouldn't have occurred to me.
Yeah, that's very cool.
But when I, you know, in a way, when I think about it, it's something that I would have always wanted to do because it completely just aligns with my values, if you like. But a couple of years ago, when you're more stressed and just, you worry about things more, it impacts everything.
It does, yeah, excuse me. It does. It's just negativity does just seep in a lot, mate, and it can do. And again, you know, if you feel a bit lost out there and you haven't got a support network, you know, maybe start to ask yourself, right, well, I might need to make a change. I need to be around, because it does help being at, you know, the gym with other people in the same boat. Like, it really does And for some, it's like a proper break from reality, isn't it? So all those real positive attributes that come with being social and pushing yourself, one with other people, but just pushing yourself anyway, it does help that positive mindset. You know, it keeps those more positive decisions being made.
What have you noticed through the periods maybe when you couldn't train or it was more difficult to train or,
good.
What are some of the downsides that you've experienced when you haven't been training? What impact does that have on you?
Less motivated. And believe me, I'm motivated all the time. I'm like so like raring to go with all the projects that are going on. And if I'm not training consistently, I'm less motivated. I tell you what, over the Christmas period, I purposely said to myself that I was going to chill out over Christmas period this year because Max is the age of the year. I just wanted to be present with him. But it kind of got a little bit out of hand, like not with like food or drink or anything like that, but I spent probably about 3 days too long chilling out. Because then when it got to about the 4th, 5th of December, I actually felt a bit overwhelmed initially, because I knew that it was going to be so busy and all I needed was just to get out of the house and start. It's just crazy how quickly that, because believe me, mate, I am 100 miles an hour all the time.
January, you mean?
Well, I am all the time anyway.
Beginning of January, you started to feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, beginning of January, I felt just a little bit overwhelmed. And usually I don't feel like that. And I think it's just because I just wasn't in a very good routine. And usually I'm just like raring to go for it all the time. And it was... And it was just because I got out routine. And for that to have been the case for me, it's just a perfect example of why I always say, do not... I didn't stop training, but life just was a bit... It was slower, you know? And all of a sudden you start thinking, sitting on the sofa with Charlotte just seems a little bit more appealing. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, it's very important. And in the past when I've not been able to train, I'm less motivated. I'm significantly rattier. Your relationships with the people that you care about aren't going to be as good if you can't do exercise, if you can't train. So it's really important to always do that.
Yeah.
You know, even just to go outside. Someone filled in their check-in to me earlier in the week. She said, I couldn't get to the gym. Didn't have any childcare. So we went for a walk. We did 5K. And she said it actually ended up being like a really lovely family experience. And I just said, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
What about other things then? Maybe it wasn't a long enough period of time for you to be out of the exercise routine. But I'm thinking of other typical things I know that I experience if I'm not exercising, energy levels and sleep. Was any of that impacted or not so much?
Yeah, energy levels. I over the Christmas period, I chilled out more, but I still trained consistently. I stuck to my program to the absolute T. But for context, I don't think there was a period of time through the year where I didn't train, to be fair. I just trained all the bloody time. When I did London Marathon, I had a purposeful deload week immediately after that, and I didn't do a lot of training then. But you're fatigued anyway, so like when you really do exert yourself after that, like we know when you did the Yorkshire Three Peaks, I don't know if you can remember, but if I got you to do an IQ test like a couple of days afterwards, it wouldn't have been as good as you usually. Your brain doesn't work as well. So you're just a bit more fatigued. So that doesn't help anyway. But when I had like a rest week or whatever, and I'll still do a little bit of training, but that zest just isn't there when you're not like pushing it. And you're probably just a bit flatter. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just like that sparkle of life is just not there. Last Christmas, there was 4 days over that Christmas period. And this is what's so prevalent. It's a long time for me. Remember it. It's 4 days. Too long, right? 4 days where I didn't train. Didn't train on Christmas Eve. Didn't train on Christmas Day, Boxing Day. And then there might have been something else. It was definitely 4 days I didn't train for because there was stuff going on. And there was one day, I think, where I was like really hungover or whatever. And, I felt like shit on the fifth day. Felt like shit, felt mardy. I can specifically remember Charlotte saying, you go to the fucking gym, mate. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's because it's just so normal for me to do that.
Yeah.
I recognise the benefits. So as soon as I don't do it, I just don't feel great. Which is why, like, when I went to Sicily earlier in the year with Charlotte and Max, every single place that we stayed in, because the intention was we had just had a bit of an adventure. We just stayed in one place for like a couple of days and then drove around the island. It was awesome. Every single place we went to had a gym. And every morning I woke up and went to the gym. And like, you know, a couple of people said to me when they got back, like, do you not want to have some time off? I love it. I don't want to stop training, you know, like I'm going into a new gym is like, it's a playground. It's like a new playground, you know, it's very enjoyable. It's very fun. So yeah. So train all the time forever.
I do actually believe that, you can, although I haven't got there with running, but I've never tried to push through that bit, but
yeah,
but I'm just thinking about, I do really enjoy the gym now, but yeah, it did take me a long time. Like a couple of people said, oh, give it a few weeks and you'll start to enjoy it. No, it took me a lot longer than that. I would have been
good for you for like really pushing through that.
Well, you know what it is, when you know, when you're talking there about the downsides when you don't train, I'm just not willing to go back to where I were,
yeah,
you know, like I say,
get that,
those no energy, not feeling good, just there was low, you know, perimenopausal symptoms as well. Not eating well, not sleeping, all the rest of it. Just surviving life, really.
Yeah, not thriving.
You know, so I was just thinking about that now I do enjoy it. And I have been thinking a couple of times recently, because I don't like running.
Right.
And
has that been creeping into your mind?
Well, people have said, yeah, but it's one of those things that you have to push through that point.
Yeah.
And then you start to enjoy it.
Well, if you're going to start running, mate, you know, you can still incorporate your strength training sessions that we do.
Oh, yeah, I would still keep that up, because you want to keep my strength up.
From an injury
prevention
standpoint, you'd want to do that.
Yeah, 100%.
But if you were to start running, just do couch to 5K. Like, honestly, it's so cliche, but it's designed perfectly to get the people. It'd be a great way of doing it.
My sister loves running, so, you know, I'd have a buddy straight away. I might push yourself out of your comfort zone. It's another thing that I do like to push myself out of my comfort zone. I do think it's part of our well-being as well, actually, that we do that every now and again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe...
Running's great, man. It's so great for the mind. Anything, endurance is inherently bloody good for you. You learn a lot about yourself.
You can prove... It's another thing, isn't it, that you prove to yourself that you can do more than you first thought, really, which is all good.
Yeah, you should always have challenge. I think I will always try to live my life in a manner where there should always be stuff around the corner that scares you a little bit. Like this year, I mean, granted, I did London Marathon last year, but this year I'm doing Manchester. Well, I'm going for a better time, you know, like, and... I did not mess about on that London Marathon, mate. You know, I planned it to the T. I had a running coach, you know, my nutrition was perfect. I didn't drink for ages, you know, ages and ages and ages. I didn't have a drop of alcohol. And on the day, you know, everything went to the T. There was a couple of mistakes I made. The last 7K was horrendous. Mm. It was like proper redlining it, you know. Didn't leave anything on the table, and I got a really respectable time, and I'm very pleased with myself. Well, this year my intention is to better that time. Mm. So if it's anything like last year, then I know I'm in for you're deep into that pain cave. But that's what I'm doing it for. I want to do it to push myself, to prove to myself I can, and to be proud of myself. A month after I'm doing that, I'm going to run 100 kilometers.
Wow.
And then we know Rob Page, you know, Mr. Page. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing the same race as he is or if I'm going to do another one, but it won't be on a bloody flat ground. It's either going to be in the Peak District or the Lake District.
I mean, he's Mr. Marathon, isn't he, Rob?
He's Mr. Marathon, mate, yeah.
He's one of those natural runners. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, right? Set yourself goals, make them somewhat challenging, somewhat scary. I know there's a difference between being ridiculous and challenging, but they should be a little bit scary. And that's what it's all about, mate. Like, you learn so much about yourself with that. God knows what I'll do the following year.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm looking forward to finding out. But what an absolute pleasure talking to you today. You know, I knew some of your story, but it's quite an inspirational story. And you never know. It's true, that saying, don't judge a book by its cover, because I'm sure people look at you and think, well, it's easy for you. You own a gym and, you know, so you get to work out whenever you want and
it's not like
life's a breeze. And, you know, so you really never know what people, what their story is and how they've actually got to where they are. Most people have had to work damn hard.
Yeah, I have worked hard, mate. And, but, you know, I think that's what, I wouldn't say that my life's been harder than anybody else's, but it's bloody come with some challenges, mate. And, you know, the things that I've struggled with are because of decisions that I made. I made the decision to get drunk at the rec when I was 15 and broke my elbow, and it's just massively affected everything about my adult life and the career that I've chose. But I love what I do, and I'm grateful to be able to help people. I really, really like what I do, mate. I'm very passionate about what I do, about helping people. So I'm very grateful for that, mate.
Well, thank you for being so honest with us today and talking with us.
You're welcome.
I'm sure there'll be people listening who, you know, are maybe going through a difficult time at the minute, and, you know, they might not be very hopeful, or they might be thinking that, well, it's all right for you, but I can't do that. But, you know,
it's always something you can do.
I think that that's been quite an inspirational message today, that people can do more. You can do more than you think. I know that I never dreamt that I'd be doing a podcast, for instance. You know, there's other things that I've obviously done along the way that I would have never thought that. But
maybe on the next podcast, we should break down the level of intensity that was present on the Kilimanjaro trip and what I learned about myself, because it was very cool. That very cool. Well, we can talk about that maybe in the future.
That sounds great. Yeah, I would really be interested in that for sure. Okay, well, thank you again.
You're welcome.
And that's it for another episode of Happiness, Health and Relationships podcast. If you'd like to find out more ways that you can work with me, then head over to happinesshealthrelationshipspodcast.com, and I'll see you on the next episode.